throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. That's some good news from SWASU Women's Golf. Got it done yesterday. We'll tell you what's going on there and what to look forward to for the Lady Dogs as they are headed to Nationals, their golf team headed to the National Tournament. After a great showing at Bartlesville this week in the Central Regional. So we got that. Also, the NBA playoffs. Game two tonight down in Oklahoma City, downtown in the Paycom Center. Thunder Mavs. What can the Mavs do to steal game two? I think if you listen to a lot of the national people, heck, right here on these airwaves yesterday, Doug Gottlieb included, has a different sense of this series than I think the people here do. Is it warranted, or is it because they're not watching what Luka Doncic looks like help from a health standpoint? Is he healthy enough to do what a lot of people think he can do? What would you like to see from Oklahoma City tonight that maybe we didn't see as much in game one? MVP was handed out last night, SGA, second in the MVP voting behind Nikola Jokic. Was it a snub? Boy, Shaq sure looked like his feelings got hurt. See any of that?
No.
On TNT?
No.
My goodness. We'll talk about that. Third MVP for Jokic. And Shaq really was. His feelings were hurt that Jokic won. He was the biggest SGA bandwagoner there was. But
him and Stephen A were kind of right there.
Let me ask you, I'll have a question to ask about why for Shaq. High school sports, got boys tennis, 4A boys tennis is going to start tomorrow. And of course, the state baseball tournament in Class 4A starts today. We'll unpack everything between the matchup of Elk City and Chickasha, number 3 Elk City, number 6 Chickasha. Absolutely, William. William, you can call right this second. Will Bowie, going to call in. You know, he's becoming a little bit of a radio star.
Oh, yeah?
When Butch is gone. I've heard him multiple times on the Energy Show. Kind of classes to join up in there.
Well, I mean, he's more than welcome to fill in when Sean's gone.
Or maybe be him one of these days, sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Wonder if he's listening. I'm just hawking the phone here.
What if Will's listening or Sean's listening?
Will. Anyhow, we got the baseball tournament coming up today. 4A State Baseball. All right, well, as we wait on Will to call, 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things or whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple of ways to stay in touch with the show. You can log on to KADSAM.com or you can download the app. The app has it all. It's got the radio. It's got the penny news. Free edition of the... Hang on. The print edition of the penny news out... everywhere today. Pick up a copy of the Penny News at your favorite local newsstand. I'm telling you right now, the text line's funny so far today. It's good stuff. Big Elk and Paragon TV, Big Elks and Chickasha, 4 o'clock. Big Elk TV State Baseball Tournament will have it covered for you live. And, of course, the Skinny on Sports podcast is available each and anywhere where podcasts may be available. What do you think, Jared? Do you think it's going to voicemail?
Yeah.
I thought we had that fixed.
I don't know anymore. I don't know. Hey, can I filibuster?
Yeah.
Did you, and it's like not sports related, but it's Oklahoma related. Did you see the latest trailer for the movie Twisters?
No.
You know, they debuted one during the Super Bowl, and now they come out with a second trailer?
No.
Poor El Reno got absolutely destroyed in this trailer.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and you can tell it's El Reno because the water tower that comes crashing down says El Reno on it.
What was it?
It's just like the old movie. There's a lot of Oklahoma references in
it. Was it Wakita?
It was Wakita, the last one.
Wakita was the...
Yeah.
Was that where they were like at the nighttime one? Was it where everybody was out watching the drive-in movie?
Well, that was like at Canton.
If you listen
closely, you hear a radio report saying, and we're just getting reports of a drive-in movie theater in Canton that just got hit. And then from there it said, it looks like it's going to Wakita.
Okay, so I remember Wakita.
Yeah.
So now...
Now El Reno is the victim of Hollywood here.
So let me ask you this. Obviously, back then, one of the prominent figures as far as the weather coverage itself was our man Gary England.
Uh-huh.
Have they moved in the other three?
No, they in this trailer. Now I'd assume because they were pretty good in that last movie. They used Gary England, and they used others too, like all three networks. But I saw in this trailer there's someone from Channel 4. I think it was Aaron Brackett. Does that sound familiar?
I just know Mike Morgan.
I know Emily Sutton tweeted it like, there's our guy. Da da da. But I just saw a flash of that, and it looked, you know, it wasn't. It looked like they used Channel 4's stuff.
Yeah,
graphics and the weather guy. They're staying like the roots of the old film are still there. Like using the local weathermen, real town names, obviously.
Yeah, problem is a bunch of those people are dead. They were in the first movie.
No, I know, but I can't figure out if this is a sequel to the original,
or it's a different cast name,
remake, or a reimagining. I think I'm going to label it a reimagining from what I've read, because they said we wanted to redo it because the technology from then to now with storm chasing and everything is totally different. So after watching these two trailers, I can kind of get an idea of how they're reimagining this. You got your two chasers that are going against each other or whatever. You know, you got your... You know, the Bill Paxton character, well, he's played by this younger guy. I forget his name. He's the next Matthew McConaughey. He's a Texas guy.
Oh.
He kind of has a swagger about him.
Oh, man. I was just a hair late.
Tell him to call back.
Somebody else already answered it.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, I imagine we'll see a park here in just a second.
But, anyways, it was filmed entirely right. That's like the last one in Oklahoma. I'm looking forward to it. All right.
Here we go.
Let's get Wills.
Skinny.
Yep.
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 We got it. We got it. We got it. Yeah.
What a cluster.
Here we go. Oh, I hear sound.
Okay. What do we got?
Will, you there?
Hey,
what's up, man? How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you, boys?
Where are you in your travels?
I'm in Elk City. I've got to go west of Elk City. And then I've got to make a long road trip going east of Elk City.
Now, you will be in Noble, won't you, this afternoon?
Man, you know where I'll be.
I figured you might end up being up in the booth with us at some point, if it was warranted.
All I need is an invite. Y'all know me. I'll talk all day long.
So, what you got on your mind today?
Well, just all things, man. All good things. Sports. Spring is amazing. Like the sports season, playoff basketball, Elk City baseball is the biggest thing on my mind right now. I was fortunate enough to go to the playoff game when they played the Pelicans at home, so that was amazing. What do you guys think of what's the Thunder's chances to go all the way this year?
Getting better and better, in my mind. I think all of the, like going into the playoffs, the worries about youth and that kind of thing, and even maybe playing too many players, I think it's starting to prove a little bit that it's maybe a changing of the way that maybe the game is imagined. You know, for the longest time, you look at the Knicks, they're playing, what, six or seven guys? Josh Hart just got done playing his second consecutive full playoff game, all 48 minutes. I don't think that's sustainable, and a big part is because that's outside of maybe Thibodeau. Nobody else in the league plays like that throughout the year, and so then you're asking these guys to ramp it up from, you know, 32 to 34 minutes to start averaging 41 or 42. Eventually they're going to wear down, and I think that's one of the biggest strengths the Thunder do have is having so much depth and kind of interchangeable pieces that also have their own skill sets. You know, I think a lot of people were looking at Giddey and the way that Dallas played them, that we're going to play him and play the Thunder defensively when Giddey was on the floor. Guess what? Daigneault doesn't care. If Giddey's not making a shot or two, he'll just set him down. And then all of a sudden you bring in Aaron Wiggins or somebody else that, you know, he just has so many options. And I think that, you know, a lot of some criticism throughout the season was playing all these guys and this and that. I actually think that it's turning out to be a pretty good strategy because everyone is ready to go. There's nobody that they're throwing into the fire that hasn't experienced, you know, throughout the year.
What I want to know is where's all the people at that were years ago clamoring for Presti's job? They're ready to drag him through the streets because of this and that? No. He drafted James Harden. He drafted Kevin Durant. The core of what made them great, like, just pump the brakes a little bit, guys. But no, I'm a fair-weather Thunder fan. I love that they're doing good because it does so much good for the community and the buzz about Oklahoma City. Good for Oklahoma City, right? But what I see is a team that's young and hungry, and they play a style of ball that's unselfish. Like the Pelicans game that I got to go to, I think they were up at one point by 15, somewhere in there, and Shea hadn't even really gotten started yet. I think he only had 4 or 5 points. Well, then by the end of the game, he had 32, and they just demolished them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited again about Thunder basketball. I'm not going to lie. I'm probably not going to watch if they're not good.
Yeah. Well,
you can't because they don't put them on TV.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. That was the best part about the Bally Sports thing over the last couple of years is you didn't have to go through watching those tanking seasons of a couple of years ago.
I love nothing more than to see the young Thunder team go out and just beat the brakes off of whoever they play, the Lakers, the Nuggets, all these teams that it's like, man, they're getting older, blah, blah, blah. Like, this is hopefully a new era in Thunder basketball, right?
Yeah, and for me, this team is so much more enjoyable. You know, I guess maybe probably jaded by the end of the Russ and KD era and how much different – and these guys can still do that too. They're so young. We saw those – you know, it seemed like there was joy early on. But even from a national standpoint, it always felt in the first Thunder group, like they were there was always a wedge trying to be driven in between Westbrook and Durant. Whereas right now, nobody's watched them all year, so there's none of that going on. It's just like this college type atmosphere around that team that's just so easy to watch on the screen.
Well, how many MVPs are there now between Durant, Westbrook, and Harden? Three. So can you – in the NBA, when those guys are so talented and they all have an ego, I don't care. It may not be as big as – ones may not be as big as the others. But my point is you can't get to that level and have three big egos on the same team and expect for that to stay together because those guys want to be the man. They don't want to be – they want to be the man that carries the team. I loved Russell Westbrook until the triple double. It was incredible what he did, but that was not the best thing for the Thunder to win basketball games. I think he's an amazing player. He's an unbelievable athlete. Don't get me started on Kevin Durant. Anyways, I'm done talking about NBA basketball. I want to talk Elk City baseball, whatever you guys are in.
Final thought about the NBA, about the Thunder anyways, for me, is I hope that You know, you talk about egos, and I've said this before, is that this is a fun team because those egos haven't been infected into the locker room yet. They're playing as one. You see in their post-game interviews, and they're not selfish and all of that. I just hope, I'm not suggesting, I'm hoping that we talk about a window, a championship window. I hope it's not as small right now, because, you know, eventually we're going to have to talk about money. We're going to talk about contracts. Moving some pieces, maybe some key role players from the bench that want bigger roles and bigger money, and things get shook up. Back in that first iteration of the Thunder, that all that talk was, they're so young and the windows is going to be so wide open, they're going to win multiple championships, and it never happened. I'm hoping we're not seeing a repeat of that when further down the line where these guys kind of realize, you know, I can make more money in this market, or man, if it wasn't for this guy, I could, or, you know, and then maybe we'll start hearing that stuff from the media, like, oh, I heard SGA is not too happy with Chet or whatever. So my point is, we better strike while the iron's hot, whether it be this year or next year, winning big. I hope I'm wrong.
I hope you're wrong.
All right, what do you think about today? Obviously, Chickasha came out here about a month ago and beat the Elks 5-4 on a home run in the seventh inning by Lane Jay, the freshman that has kind of worked up their lineup. He started kind of down toward the bottom. Now he's hitting two-hole for a lot of this run for them. Obviously, though, you know, the guy on the mound today is different than anybody else that basically in the state of Oklahoma, and that's obviously Cash.
Yeah, I was at the Chickasha game when they played here. You know, on paper, it's like, yeah, they gave up a home run, but the wind was blowing 25 miles an hour out of the south. I watched the whole game from the first pitch to the last. I'm not discrediting the kid hitting a home run because a home run's a home run. But at the same time, he was a right-handed batter that hit an outside pitch with – stuck his butt out, just trying to make contact, flick of the wrist, the ball got up in the air and it went over the fence. So I'm not going to sit here and act like it was an absolute laser shot out of the park, like, holy cow. I mean, I think those guys can hit. They're going to put the ball in play. So, you know, I think this is what I see. Elk City is going to be absolutely on a mission. Because think about today. Okay, they lost to Chickasha. I told some of those guys after the game, I said, let them have this one. Let them have this one. I said, because when it comes to playoff time, they don't want to see Cash Mayfield. I guarantee you that. And I said, and today, after the game, this was talking to a couple of the kids after the game. I said, today, it took their very best, their number one and their number two pitcher, and a windblown home run ball for them to beat you. And I said, and we threw probably our, you know, number three, number four guy. So, like, don't let them have it, let them get that confidence, because when it comes down to the games that are really going to matter, I don't think they're ready for what's going to be on the mound today. And you hit the nail on the head. Is he hands down the best pitcher in Oklahoma? I don't know, but if there's a better one out there than Cash Mayfield, I'd have to see it with my own eyes.
Well, if you read the Oklahomans preview, he didn't make the players to watch. So if he needs any kind of little extra motivation, which I don't believe he does, but if he does, that's pretty amazing to talk about players in the Class 4A state baseball tournament in a statewide publication, and not mention the guy that's committed to OSU before he ever threw a varsity pitch, that is signed, sealed, and delivered. And, oh, by the way, if you've been to any game he's pitched in all year long, you see these like 30 or 40, 50 strangers in the crowd with these little weird things. They hold up every pitch. Those are those Major League Baseball scouts that it looks like there's a fair chance that one of them might tell his team to draft him in the first round of the baseball draft this year. Pretty crazy for a guy like that not to be able to make it into the players to watch category by our state's publication.
Yeah, but I mean, he's not. I mean, it is. I didn't read the article. Obviously,
it's not worth your time. Don't do it.
Okay. But if he's not a player to watch, then my opinion on that would be he's a national player to watch. Yeah. He's not a player to watch. You know, you can't watch him now because everybody knows what he is. So it's like maybe the Oklahoman's going to give a little bit more credit to these guys who aren't so hyped up. So that's kind of the way I look at it. But at the same time, like, is there anybody else in this state tournament that's going to be throwing, you know, 95, 96, nasty changeup, nasty curveball? Like, is there anybody else that's a pitcher that is that good?
No.
I'm going to guess, I didn't read it, Aaron, because of what you just said, so I'm not even going to give the time, but I'm going to guess the players are watched were from, I don't know, Blanchard, Tuttle, maybe.
Bam.
in the listening,
that's it.
The reading area, the
that's
metro
it.
Area of, hey, of and, the Oklahoman. It's all about selling papers. That's what it is.
And here's the truth of it, man. I'm not knocking down any of those guys. One of them.
That's not what I'm doing either. No.
One of them's committed to go play baseball at UCO. That's a great accomplishment. I'm not knocking them. I'm knocking leaving him out.
Right. Oh yeah, I understand.
Yeah, those guys, yeah, guaranteed that they can play. We all know, you know, when you look at the last 2 years, the same two teams have played in the state finals both years. Blanchard won 2 years ago, Tuttle won last year against each other. And that's the mission, I think, that you mentioned earlier for the Elks is to not only break up that party, but to have yourself in position to win for the first time in school history. All right, Will, you know what? Have a good day. Be safe, be careful, and we'll see you down there, all right?
Guys are noble.
All right, absolutely.
All right, see you guys.
See ya. All right, it's our man Will Bowie joining us for a little bit. Listen, I was alerted of this yesterday. I actually went to look for it, and then I got distracted to see if there was a baseball preview.
Mm-hmm.
I went ahead and took the time to read it today, and it's baffling. And It's an epitome of, you know, something that you've talked about a lot ever since we've had the show and we talked about high school sports. The slant in the metro area is obvious and probably to a certain extent should be. But this is a totally different level of cluelessness. I'm not even going to call it disrespect. I'm just cluelessness. You're talking about a guy that if you look right now on ESPN's like rankings of like a big board for the Major League Baseball draft, he's 23rd. Not 23rd in the state of Oklahoma, not 23rd in the region, 23rd on the big board of the scouts in the draft. And it's not even worth mentioning. I mean, you've got to wonder if the poor guy that wrote the article even knows who he is. And if he doesn't know who he is, somebody else needs to write that article. Period. End of story. Now, I know it's easier. And listen, Coach Draper and Tuttle, they absolutely deserve to have the feature of that story written about them because they are the defending state champs.
They are the one seed.
They did replace a ton of production off of last year's team and are right here with a better record than they were a year ago going in the state tournament. They deserve every bit of the praise that they got. That's not what I'm saying whatsoever.
Yeah.
But the fact that you're going to write a preview of a 4A baseball state tournament and have a dedicated section of players to watch and not mention Cash Mayfield in that players to watch is asinine. It's absolutely asinine.
I don't know if it's either A, it, like I've my slant have always been, it's just to sell papers, and it's pretty arrogant to, if the writer knows about Cash, knows about how great he is, and just chooses to leave him out.
No chance that happened. He doesn't know.
It's ignorance then.
It's ignorance.
That's
it's ignorance.
Insane to me. And I don't say large market. Technically, Oklahoma City is a small market, but, you know, I mean, Barry Trammell, who once worked for them, would be called on to SportsCenter sometimes when the Thunder were hitting it big and get his opinion or stuff like that. I mean, this is a big publication. That blows my mind.
6-0. In 37 innings, 0.00 ERA. He's faced 117 hitters. He's given up 2 hits, walked 5, struck out 97. That means he has struck out 83% of the guys he's faced this year. In his career, so, okay, maybe it's just a one flash in the pan, nobody knows who he is. No. 21-2 in basically 3 years of work. ERA, .596. .596. Batting average against, .068. He's faced 465 hitters in his career, given up 31 hits, 24 runs, 11 earned, walked 43, and has struck out 307 of 465. For his career, that's 66%. So every inning, 2 out of 3 guys go down swinging for a career. He's an OSU signee, and yet not worthy of mention. Not worthy of mention in the 4A baseball preview from the Oklahoman. Okay, I'm off my soapbox about that. Just absolutely ridiculous. All right, today's game, Elk City and Chickasha.
Well, what would you do if you figured out who the guy was?
I know
it
is.
In the press box with us.
I'd say, are you, as soon as the game was over, I'd say, do you think that guy was worth watching? Do you think he's worth watching?
Yes. Oh, God, I hope you do.
His name is Cash Mayfield.
I want to see it.
You clearly didn't know it before the tournament. Yeah. Hopefully you do now. I mean, that'd be an easy one. You think he's worth it? Think he's worth getting your little pass to get in here and watch that deal? Anyhow, this is going to be the fourth meeting between these two teams. And I say the last 2 years, listen, I'm not going to tell you that I know anything about Chickasha baseball before last year, but I do know that last year was Coach James's first year, and he's completely revamped and turned the thing around.
It's been awesome.
He's a guy that's, for him as a head coach, I went back and looked, and I think this is his 16th appearance in the state tournament. He's got a title from Plainview back in 2000.
His personal, cool.
But these two teams have met. This will be the fourth time in the last 2 years. The Elks won both of them last year. They won 11-2 down at Chickasha. They won here in the regional tournament 2-0. Just so happened that the pitching matchup that day is what I assume the pitching matchup is going to be today, with Mayfield against Leighton Bryan. He's a junior for Chickasha. He's fantastic on the mound. This could be one of those games where a run or two could be enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that because of that, I think you're going to see both of these coaches with obviously with Cash's dominance and the inability of anybody to make contact, I think you're going to see Coach James maybe play a little bit differently. Bunt some, make him cover bunts, make the Elks work.
Trying to manufacture anything.
That's
yeah.
right. Because I know he's got enough confidence in his guy that he does, you know, he's thinking just a couple will be enough. And I would agree with that. I think if somebody scores 3 runs, they're going to win this game. Whether or not anybody can or not, we'll find out. But, Chickasha won here 5-4. I do remember that day. We were at Weatherford or at Clinton in that I-40 tournament on that Saturday, and the wind was howling out of the south. Chickasha won 5-4. Lane Johnson hit a home run in the first inning. Chickasha scored 4 in the first, helped by some Big Elk errors in that first inning. And then Elk City came back. They got it tied up going into the seventh, and then Lane J hit a game-winning home run in the top of the seventh inning for a 5-4 victory there. The Elks, I mentioned Coach James, all those state tournaments. You know, all Jay's done is make them all. He's only had 3, but you know, he's been there every single year. The Elks back-to-back semifinalists, losing to Tuttle both times in the last couple of years. One, the first year, just a heartbreaker after Jason Holder hit that home run. Matter of fact, at Noble that day, hit a home run in the top of the seventh for an insurance run, led 6-4 and ended up losing 7-6. Then last year, jumping out on top early, and then Tuttle just kind of, you know, that one inning, and it was bunts that kind of got the Elks flustered, and there was all kinds of stuff going on in the stands below. You know, it was just a wild scene.
It was wild. Yeah.
It was a wild scene for about 30 minutes, and the Elks just didn't handle it as well as Tuttle did that day. And so, but that doesn't matter about Tuttle today. It'll be Elk City and Chickasha, 4 o'clock is the scheduled start time for the Big Elks and the Chicks. This team, first time 3 years in a row, Elk City has made the state baseball tournament. Senior group, as you know, their three varsity years, 90 and 18 going into the state tournament today. So it's one
great run.
You know, you think about like Drake and those guys kind of building the foundation.
Yeah.
These guys, to me, have been the ones that have set the standard. Like, okay, here is where we're at. Now you guys, younger than us, take it and run. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, absolutely.
That's just kind of the layers that I kind of see
how it works.
With these guys.
That's how it works. That's how you build a program. And so you just don't hope to get a flash in the pan with a heavy senior group that's really talented and they move on and then you take a step back. Hasn't been that way. We've seen it with the football program. We're seeing it carry over in other sports right now with baseball. And that's how you want it. So
that's right.
That's the blueprint of how you want it. You see it with other successful programs. That's how it's done right there. So you're right. You got to give those guys credit. Those guys who started it.
That's right.
Yeah. And I bet you we'll see some of them today.
I bet we will too. 4 o'clock, Big Elk TV. This is where you can watch it. Elk City and Chickasha, quarterfinals of the 4A state baseball tournament live from Noble High School. When we come back.
Weather looks great, by the way. I'm checking
it
out. Little northeast breeze. That's about it.
Which will be blowing in, which will only help those two pitchers on the hill.
Yep.
Hanging out here on a Thursday, state baseball tournament Thursday. So we'll have the Big Elks and the Chickasha fighting chicks. 4 o'clock, BigElkTV.com. Now, here's the deal. Today and possibly tomorrow, we can do live video streaming from Noble High School. We'll have it live. We'll have it videoed. Today, if the Elks are able to win, we'll have that tomorrow at 1:30. If the Elks advance to the finals on Saturday, those games are at Bricktown, we will not be able to provide live video. We'll have the audio. I would imagine we'll probably have it on the radio. Be my guess. I don't know that for sure, but I would almost guarantee Cool 94 will have the baseball game if it's in the finals on Saturday.
Yeah, and you could listen.
You can listen live. You could tune into Big Elk TV live.
You can see a scoreboard
for audio to see the scoreboard or what have you.
Right.
Now, what we can do is record video of that state title game, potential state title game, and then we can post it back later on the archives at Big Elk TV with the full video broadcast, like you'll see today and hopefully tomorrow. That's not our
24 hours later or something like that.
It's not our deal. It's the OSSAA NFHS agreement deal. We'd be more than happy to have that live video for you if it occurs on Saturday. We just can't, but we will. It's better than it used to be. It used to be you couldn't do anything, and all you had was the audio recording. Mm-hmm. At least now we can have a video. It just will be posted later. So. You know the best way to not have to worry about not being able to see it? If the Elks are in the finals, be there.
Yeah, just
11 a.m. Saturday, downtown Oklahoma City. Cool venue. Anyhow, so that's how that'll work this week. I know people have been asking, will you be there? How can you know? Everyone's kind of used to this a little bit with the smaller schools and in the state champion or state tournaments in basketball. Everyone's kind of starting to get used to this a little bit. But that's the way that works. And, of course, football, you know, we've talked about it in semifinals. This is the last one we can do, full video, until, you know, we can post it later. So that's the way that'll work. Tonight, Mavs, Thunder, game two. Oklahoma City, it seemed like they were a little bit tight, a little bit excited throughout the first half or so of game one, really reminiscent to what we saw against New Orleans. In game one, but then everyone's talked about it on these airwaves throughout the week or the last couple of days. But I really thought that play that Dort made, he knocks down a three, then Luka kind of dribbles it off his foot, thinks it's going out of bounds. Dort dives, saves it, throws it ahead. Next thing you know, J-Dub's dunking it, and the roof is blown off of the Paycom Center. And you know, from there, the Thunder really kind of made a spurt and were able to end up just dominating the Mavs in the second half to the tune of 117-95. All five games, Oklahoma City has yet to give up 100 points defensively, which is probably, to me, Jared, the one thing that people don't realize about this team that haven't watched it much you know, even if they haven't watched it much, kind of know about SGA. Obviously, mm-hmm. second in the MVP voting. You think of offense, but what I think the dirty little secret around this Thunder team that people are starting to realize is that, they're a pretty darn good defensive team as well.
Yeah. It all starts with a really good team. You think about their offense and their explosiveness and all that. But, yeah, that's the fun little caveat to all this is that they play really, really good defense. Hustle defense is what I would call it. Just a constant barrage. You know, we know about Lou, about Dort. And, SGA, I think, is an all-defensive kind of guy, too. And this is that hustle defense, that tenacity. They just don't let up on, like, every other play or something like that. That's another reason why they're so fun to root for, because they play both sides of the court so well.
What do you think, from a Dallas standpoint, after that Game 1 loss, what do you see them needing to be able to do to turn this thing around, well, earn a split, and go back home tied 1-1?
It's going to sound simple, but I think it's kind of obvious. They didn't shoot the ball really well, and that kind of helped the Thunder. I mean, if you think about it, they kind of – that was still kind of a tight game for a first quarter and a half, and then going into the third quarter too, where they kind of shot the ball better. But they didn't shoot the ball very well, to me anyways, without looking at the numbers. I don't know if that would last. So for them to be better, they're just going to have to shoot the ball better. I know that sounds simple and kind of a cop-out answer, but that's the way I see it. But I don't know if they can with that defense we just spoke of.
You know, the major bugaboo for the Thunder all season long has been rebounding.
Yeah.
And the problem for the Mavs is that they're not really built to take advantage of that much. They were like 25th in rebounding overall throughout the year. Offensive rebounding, they were even further down the list. And you look up, they only had 11 offensive rebounds in Game 1, whereas the Thunder was 16. That's not a category that Oklahoma City wins very often. But they certainly did in Game 1 from a rebounding perspective. And they also generated second chance points off of that as well, where Dallas didn't. Yeah, I think, you know, the Mavs, it seemed like in the first quarter, when Oklahoma City was really kind of having some trouble getting shots, I liked what their plan was defensively. I think they almost conceded that they couldn't keep Oklahoma City out of the paint. But at the rim, and Gafford had 5 block shots. It seemed like they really protected the rim for getting beat off the dribble as much as they did, even in the first half. They really protected the rim well. But eventually that kind of wore down, and the problem for them is a lot like what we saw in the first series against the Pelicans. If Chet can make shots, that almost forces Jason Kidd's hand in getting Gafford off the floor. And as soon as Gafford was off the floor, the Thunder just pounded it in the paint. They outscored Dallas in the paint 40-32. And I bet you if we went back and like pulled the numbers out of those 40 points, Gafford wasn't in there for many of them, because he really kind of locked to the point where you saw the Thunder getting into the paint but then looking to pass more than looking to score than we've really seen all year long. So that's one thing that I think that the longer Gafford can play in this series, the more beneficial that's going to be to the Mavericks. And it's almost like a broken record a little bit in that way with the first series against New Orleans and Valanciunas. I would also say somebody's going to have to make some shots. Josh Green started out making a couple in the first quarter off the bench, but that also goes hand in hand with, you know, I mentioned yesterday maybe giving the ball, because Lucas doesn't look 100% healthy by any stretch, maybe you initiate offense through Kyrie, but that means Kyrie has to be a willing passer. It didn't even really look like he knew other guys were on the floor the other night. Mm-hmm. Only 3 assists. One of those was in transition where he kind of had to give it up. So only 2 real assists, like in that motion of the half-court offense. I think he and Luka with 9, I mean, we know he can pass. He's one of the best passers in the entire league. But I think those guys are going to have to be willing to get their other guys involved and trust those other guys more than what we saw them able to trust them in Game 1.
Yeah, completely agree. That just be more together. Be more together with that right there.
And, you know, those guys have to make shots, which off the bench, outside of Tim Hardaway, they were pretty good. 5 of 11 from the guys not named Hardaway from three. There's nothing wrong with that. And matter of fact, if you look at the Mavs, shooting-wise, from behind the arc, if you take away Luka's 1 for 8, they were 11 for 27. That is not a horrific percentage whatsoever. But you throw in Luka's 1 for 8, and all of a sudden, it knocks that down to 34% instead of kind of in the mid-40s where the Thunder were at 16 of 35. What do you think you might see out of Oklahoma City tonight that you didn't see much of in Game 1?
Well, there's a lot of good things that happened in Game 1, so it's kind of hard to nitpick at it. I think I can tell you what I'd like to see, and maybe a little better Giddy, just a little better, that makes Dallas think, oh, that's not what we need. We need this guy to be what we thought he was going to be so we can defend these guys the way we want to defend them. But if he's hitting maybe a couple shots early and that, like, well, we gotta run him off the line. We got to make him work. We can't leave him wide open. So maybe that's what I want to see is Giddy just be a little bit more involved. Where Dak Nott says, you know what, I feel comfortable leaving you out there a little longer.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that you got to give him credit for. He being Dagnall, he doesn't stay with him long. He sees the writing on the wall, but that speaks to the depth and the ability that Oklahoma City has off the bench with Joe Wiggins and Cason Wallace. He trusts every one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, that then makes, you know, a big part of why the Thunder were able to beat their guys off the dribble but then always have protection at the rim was the fact that they could hide Gafford on Giddy, and he was always, you know, right around the painted area where it's just one step, and he was able to challenge as help defense. When Giddy's off the floor, that takes that away with the threat of the shooting of those other guys. So, yeah, it would be nice. But honestly, right now, that almost seems like a luxury. You know what I mean? Because of the way those other guys are playing.
That's why that question was hard to answer, because of Game 1, I mean, I guess we could really – I'm not sure you have an answer, but for me, it was like what, the end result, I'm like, man, what could they do better?
Well, I'll be shocked if tonight the Thunder are able to win if J-Dub doesn't make a basket in the first half. He did not make a hoop until the third quarter of Game 1. I think they're going to need more consistency from him throughout the game. You know, you look up and he's 6 of 15, he scores 18 points, but he's going to have to be better throughout the entirety of the game on the offensive end in order for the Thunder to find a way to win this game too. Mm-hmm. Do you think that Luka is healthy enough to be what everybody in the national media thinks of him as or wants him to be in order for this series to be as competitive as we hoped or thought it might be going in?
I don't think we're ever going to know how injured or, you know, if he's 75, 80, 85%. We're not going to know that until this series is over. So, but I think we're seeing it. I think we're getting as good as we can get from him because of that knee.
Yeah, don't you almost feel like Game 1 was as good as it's going to be?
Yeah.
Because
here's and I hate that. You right? You don't want that injected excuse. Well, the only reason the Thunder got to the Western Conference Finals was, one, Zion was out in the first round. Two, Luka was not 100%. You hate that, but that it is what it is.
Well, and you got Luka coming off, what, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, basically 4 days rest in Game 1. Now you're going to get it every other night. You know, the timeline speeds up as the playoffs move along a little bit here. And so I would be, you know, as a Mavs fan, you'd kind of be worried that the Luka we just saw in Game 1 on Tuesday night might be the most healthy Luka that we see all series long. Now, the good news is his game isn't necessarily predicated off of being some major athletic specimen. So he kind of knows how to play. It's not like it limits his game because he can't just burst by you with this huge amount of athleticism. That's not his game anyhow. Mm-hmm. And so it probably doesn't necessarily affect him as much. Like, you know, think about like Westbrook. You know, if he was hobbled, it was way noticeable because his game was built off speed and athleticism, whereas Luka's a lot more crafty than that. But I just – watching him in Game 1, he doesn't appear to me to be healthy enough to provide what everybody wants him to provide, and that's essentially winning a game by himself. I just don't – he doesn't look healthy enough for that. Now, maybe, you know, maybe that comes as he gets further away from – but it sure doesn't seem like it. It sure seems like he's kind of going downhill from a health standpoint as opposed to uphill, and that's where, you know, Kyrie and some of those other guys are going to have to pick up his slack to me, because I just don't – with Dort – being the primary defender on him, I just don't know if we're going to see that Luka game in this series. I just don't know if he's healthy enough. Any thoughts on SGA second in the MVP?
Well, I think, you know, you saw the rumblings of being snubbed and he was robbed and all of that last night from, well, let's face it, Thunder fans.
And Shaq.
I think that comes from a recency of Denver being down 0-2 and of course Jokic on that team and not necessarily playing well, and then of course the Thunder look really good, 5-0 in the playoffs so far. So I think in the large part it is a season long award. It's not just how you've done, what have you done for me lately. I'm okay with it. You want SGA to win it, but I think Joker's had the best season all the way around.
There's a lot of numbers that would disagree with you. A lot of historical numbers that are trends that SGA not winning snapped. Like, for instance, he's the first guy ever to average 30 on the one seed in the West and not be the MVP. Now, there's a bunch of stats like that to where, yeah, you know, his season – I get to the – here's what I get to. Now, you know, take him off of the Thunder, take Jokic off of the Nuggets. I think the Thunder probably are deeper, but they're always going to – you know, looking for the head of the snake. But when you go back to where the season started, the Nuggets were probably the favorite, if not the second or third favorite in the entire league. They're the defending champions. And the Thunder was this young group that made their way into the play-in game a year ago and didn't even make the playoffs. And for him to lead a bunch of college-aged kids to the number one seed in the Western Conference in this loaded – everybody agrees it's a loaded Western Conference. That's the part where I have a hard time with him not winning that award. And – all you had to do was look down the stretch when he didn't play some of those games on the East Coast where he wasn't in the lineup.
Yeah.
Thunder lost, what, 4 or 5 in a row?
Yeah.
And then they turn around and they haven't lost since he played again. 5 straight to end the season, 5 straight in the playoffs so far. So that would be, you know, he put up the numbers that were necessary, and he also, to me, elevated a team that was expected for one thing – to a level that nobody saw coming. That's where I would lean a little bit in SGA's favor.
Right. It was hard to buck the trend, though, of, let's face it, the media kind of already crowned Jokic way back in like March.
Yeah, and I mean, he almost averaged a triple-double. I mean, his numbers were incredible. I just think the team, lifting a team up, shouldn't that be what the MVP does?
100%.
Wrapping up a Thursday here with the Thursday special at the Boomtown Grill. What is that Thursday special, you might ask? Well, 50-cent boneless chicken wings. There's not a better deal in town.
No, not at all.
Choice of sauces are mild chipotle, sriracha, garlic parmesan, mango habanero, hot barbecue, kicking bourbon, and sweet red chili. 50-cent boneless wings all day at the Boomtown Grill. Open 11 to 10. Happy hour 2 to 6, 12 big screen TVs, 11 beers on tap, 30 bottles and cans. Perfect place to watch the Thunder start tonight at the Boomtown Grill. Where is Boomtown, Jared?
It's in Boomtown.
Do you
That'd
know?
That'd be Elk City.
I've memorized the address as we've gone along here.
You know, I'm horrible with addresses when you just know where it's at. You know,
2103 South Main, right here in Elk City. As I mentioned, opened 11 to 10 today. It's open 7 days a week, 11 to 10 Sunday through Thursday, 11 to 11 Friday and Saturday. Go get you a chicken wing special at the Boomtown Grill today.
You know, Boomtown's perfect for his date night because it's right there near the movie theater.
That's a good point.
Or if you're going, you know, I've met up with some buddies to go see a movie. We'll go get a pre-movie drink or a post-movie drink or maybe both. It's right there at Boomtown, just walkable distance.
That's correct. Perfect place. And hey, if you can't kick out of lunch, maybe there's a possibility you go watch the Big Elks at Boomtown, 4 o'clock.
Just take off work early. Just leave work early.
Yeah, come on, bosses. Come on, bosses around town. About 3:30, wrap that deal up. Let everybody get their seat for Big Elk baseball.
Yeah, it's in the right in the prime time of a certain hour that's happening.
Yeah, I didn't really want to talk about that part of it.
I didn't say it. I'm just saying you would be happy if you went.
You would be happy in
that
4 hours between 2 to 6.
4 hours right there, yeah.
Swasu Women Golf, congratulations as they are headed
to
the national tournament. Southwestern Ladies ended up second. Hang on a minute. I forgot to look where Nationals is. It's in Florida somewhere. Anyhow, they end up second in the Central Regional. It's a couple of shots behind Henderson State, but they were way ahead going into yesterday of fourth place. All you had to do was get in the top three. You know, probably it might change tee times in some way. Depending on your seating from regionals. But the point is, the mission was accomplished. And that was make it to the national tournament. And the Lady Dogs did that yesterday. Of course, Cordell's Megan Brown on that team has been one of the leaders of that team all year long. I think Rebecca Lau was probably, at the end of the day, was the best finisher. I had that pulled up and I got rid of it. National tournament will be May 21st through 25th. That will be in Orlando, Florida, Orange County National Golf Center. So congrats to the Lady Dogs. You know, it was just a couple of years ago, 4 or 5 years ago maybe, that the Lady Dogs played in the finals of the match play and were runners-up. So now they're headed back to Nationals. Here's how it works. It'll be 54 holes of stroke play at the national tournament. An individual champ will be named. And then the top eight teams at the end of the 54 holes will then go on and play match play. So it'll be 1 versus 8, 2 versus sure. 7, da-da-da. And then it'll be 3 rounds of match play to crown a champion. So good stuff.
That's great.
Good stuff by the Lady Dogs.
That's very cool. It's cool that you mentioned Megan Brown, a local kid, being a part of that.
Yeah, she's 3-time all GAC there at SWAT. She's been fantastic.
That's awesome.
Throughout the season. And so, yeah, really good. Really good stuff. All right, who you got tonight?
Pretty. Man, you know, it goes against my series pick, but I think the Thunder win it, but it'll be really close. I think Dallas plays better.
Yeah, I think Oklahoma City does too. I don't think it's going to be the blowout it was the other night. But I also don't think it's coming down to the last shot either. I think the Thunder went comfortably. Say like 8 by 8 or so. 6 to 8. And then head to Dallas up 2-0.
Let's make quick work, Big Elk, so we can get home for the game.
Yeah, 4 o'clock, Big Elk TV, the Elks and Chicks. Have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.